When peace like a river attendeth my way,
when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate,
and hath shed his own blood for my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well,
it is well with my soul.
And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend.
Even so, it is well with my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. That's pretty good. Amen. Amen. In all this time, I thought Josiah, all he could do is mow grass. Amen. Noah, you keep working with them. I think you'll have them together. Amen. No, that's real good. That's real good. I appreciate it. Y'all just work on another one, okay? Let's get you another one together. Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, very good. Please remember now next week, right after service, we'll practice a little bit, see if we can get another song ready to go along with something that good, okay? Ruth chapter 1, found your place. If you would, please stand in honor of reading God's Word this afternoon. Again, appreciate your faithfulness and appreciate you being back. This is a good Sunday afternoon crowd, amen? And again, let me encourage, pray for our air conditioners, because I pray that all the parts and everything that we need for these things will be available to us. Two units, we've got to replace them. And, it's about $25,000 worth of stuff. So please, you pray that the Lord will provide, and He has that already, okay? Ruth chapter 1, found your place, amen. Now it came to pass, in the days, when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn of the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And Father, we come to you and we pray, asking you, God, again, to please speak to our hearts this afternoon. And Lord, again, thank you for our folks and their faithfulness. Pray, Lord, that you'd help me to be an encouragement as well as a challenge to them today through the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that we'll be still for a few minutes and in our thoughts as well as in our bodies and allow you to speak to us, Lord, through the presence of the Spirit of God. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it. Bless us, Lord, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Most practice in our life result of a bad decision or irrational behavior. They always, crisis always come from those two things. We either make poor judgments or wrong judgments, or we fail to do what we ought to, and as a result, problems are created as a result. And the results of bad decision, irresponsible behavior, you know, they could go on and on in our lives. But, you know, I mean, we, all of us can, you know, relate to making bad decisions. And can I get an amen about that? And we won't go into the irrational behavior or irresponsible behavior because we've all been young. Okay? And we've all made some of those things. But thank God he lets us live through them, you know, and I'm thankful for that. But all these things are true in the life of Naomi and her family. As we've read in these first five verses, she and her family, they made several bad decisions, and the result was really catastrophic because if you read there in verse 1, it says there's a certain man at Bethlehem, Judah, all right, and his name was Elimelech. And so he gives us the names of his family, but he made the first bad decision, and which was to leave the place where God had placed them. And then as a result, another bad decision was made following that. And there's that old saying that says, two wrongs never make a right. And it's never right to do wrong, ever. And so so Elimelech did that. And, you know, in fact, if you think about this, it's natural, I guess, if you could say, you know, when we've all been tempted to run away from trouble. You know, we seem like when trouble comes, we just want to get away from it. And if we're not careful, when we run away from trouble, we run right into more problems. And I always use oil field stuff, but when I was in oil field, I was working derricks, and we were changing out these rods. They're called sucker rods, and they're probably about an inch, maybe, some of the bigger ones. And we would pull triples. There were three in a row, and they're probably 25 foot apiece. So you pull three of them, you know, that's 75 feet. So I'm about 90 feet in the air in a little basket about the size of this pulpit, and we go from a small rod to a large one. Well, when you do that, I've got a cable up here, and it's got what's called a transfer case, and it's about this big around and with one side out, and on the bottom it's fixed where you can attach it to the rod, okay? And when you change them out, I'd have to take it off of a cable that I operate with my foot that pulls up on those things and put the smaller one on. Well, I had taken this one off, this transfer case, and I set it off over here. And I turned to work on this other, to put this other one on. Well, I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing, and I had set this one over here in a place, number one, where I shouldn't have put it. And while I'm doing this, I turn and I bump it off. Okay? Now, I may be the only one up here, about 90 feet in the air, but there's three guys working on the floor right below me. And when I bumped it off, and these things weigh about 4 pounds, and you take 4 pounds and drop it 90 feet, and listen, if you get hit by it, if it hits you in the head, it'll probably kill you. So as soon as I bump it off, I look down, and my ex-brother-in-law is standing down there, and another friend of mine, they're on the floor. My first thought was to yell at them, But when you, somebody is up above you and you're below them and they yell at you, what is your first instinct? Look up. Or if you, another one is to run, to try to get out of the way. Well, one of the worst things you can do sometimes in the oil field is run. So I think, well, if I just be quiet, and all this is going through your head just a split second, I'm thinking, well, if I just don't say anything where they're standing, they'll be fine if they don't move. So my choice was not to say anything. So I didn't say anything, and it took that thing probably just a few seconds to go from where I'm at to hit the floor, and the floor is made out of a mesh iron stuff, you know, so everything will go through it. And so as soon as I hit it, I looked down, and man, that thing is trapped. Well, my brother-in-law is standing right about here, and this other guy standing over here, and that thing hit on the floor right beside my brother-in-law. And man, it is mad, because the guy up here can't make any mistakes, or the people down there are going to pay for it. You follow me? So he is instantly mad. I mean, I'm not talking about a little bit mad. I'm talking about a whole bunch mad. And so he starts up the derrick. There's a ladder, and you know, and I've got a belt you wear, and that kind of helps you go up the deal. But he's crawling up the ladder, and you know what he's crawling up there to do? Throw me out. And all the time he's coming up, I'm saying, hey, man, I'm sorry. Listen, I didn't say anything. You guys are okay. It just hit the floor. You know, it just banged around and all this stuff. So I'm pleading for mercy, you know. I'm thinking, man, beside that, this little area right here, there's not a whole lot of room to be fighting in, you know. And so, man, I finally pleaded my case, and about halfway up, the operator of the rig, he finally got him to calm down, and he went back down. But listen, the worst thing you can do is run. We had a blowout on a rig one time, and it was blowing pipe out, and the guy took off running. Well, he ran out there about maybe 40, 50 yards, and a piece of pipe blew out of the ground and went out there and hit him and killed him. I mean, so the worst thing you can do is run. Well, the worst thing you can do, and we're seeing this in the life of Naomi, is running. Because oftentimes running leads you into more trouble. And so, and we see this right here in the first five verses of the book of Ruth. It all starts when a father makes some bad mistakes, big mistakes. And a father who decided to take things into his own hands and ignore God's instructions and run from where God told him to be. So the first thing you read, look in verse 1 again, circumstances that challenge our faith. If you notice there, it says it came to pass in the days of when the judges ruled, there was a what? Tell me what it said. There was a famine in the land. Now remember, Naomi and her family, we talked about this already, they lived in the corrupt days of the judges. And the judges ruled throughout Israel after Joshua's death until the first king, that's King Saul. And these were difficult days at best. In fact, these were some of the darkest days in the history of Israel. In fact, if you turn back to Judges chapter 2, just turn back one book and look in chapter 2, and you'll see there where it tells us some of the things that were going on. And it says, and it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned, the people, and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following after other gods to serve them, and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their doings, nor from their, what kind of way? Stubborn way. Listen, I mean, they were stubborn. They were going to do what they wanted. There were no judges in those days, and they did what was right in their own eyes. So as a result of doing their stubborn way, that God judged them by sending a famine. And so notice the first thing, the punishment for disobeying God. Now, it's interesting that God uses a famine here in the book of Ruth, and it takes place in the city of Bethlehem. Now, the name Bethlehem, it means the city of bread. Isn't that ironic? That they're in the city of bread. And all through the Old Testament, and if you notice here, that God often uses famine as a means to correct or discipline his people, trying to turn them back to him, you know, to try to get them to cry out for help so that they'll turn back to God. So notice, turn back over now in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Look in chapter 26, and I'm going to, if you want to start reading, you can read through that whole chapter. But beginning in about verse 14, God starts telling them what's going to happen if they don't listen to him, okay? But then when you come to verse 18, it says, "And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me," God says, "I will punish you seven times more for your sin." Now, I wonder, God being no respecter of person, I wonder if we don't cause some of that same thing on us when we don't do what he says. If God's going to punish his own people seven times over for not listening to him, I wonder sometimes if that doesn't happen to me and you. Verse 19 says, "And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land, watch, shall not yield in her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit." Now, you know what God's saying? God is saying here, if you don't obey me, I'm going to cut off your food supply. Well, you know what kind of panic people were in because they couldn't get tissue paper. Amen? I mean, just think of the panic that people will be in if our food supply is cut off. Now, think about it. Success and having plenty oftentimes makes a person self-sufficient. It oftentimes makes a person prideful. And so God is using this famine to break the stubborn pride of the people. So the city where the famine was sent as judgment, one small family, it starts feeling the pressure, and we're reading about them. So that's punishment, disobeying God. Look next at the pressure to distrust God. When I was thinking about this, if you look in verse 2, let me go ahead and read. It says, "And the name of the man," he tells us about the family, "the name of the man was Elimelech, name of his wife Naomi, name of the two sons Mahlon, Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there." Now, I wonder how often when things get really tight, do we have a tendency, or do we just ride out, distrust God and take things into our own hands? When things get tight, maybe our finances get tight, maybe the job gets tight, and we just start thinking, "Man, I got to do something." And then so we step out on our own, and we start taking things into our own hands. Well, you notice in verse 2, watch this, God looked down on this famine, and he noticed there's a certain man by the name of Elimelech there. And this is where the story really starts, because along with the father, here's a wife and his two sons. Here's Elimelech. Now watch, Elimelech's name means "God is my king." Naomi's name means "pleasant, lovely, and delightful." Mahlon's name means "to be sick." Now how would you like to be named after, you know, and your name mean, you know, "to be sick"? Now, they named these kids, and maybe he was a sickly child. But then you read and study, Chilion's name means failing, pining, or weakly. So the pressure of the famine is on Elimelech. Elimelech leads his family out of the land of promise, and look where they go. Notice where he says, they went to the land of Moab. Listen. Now, they're standing off here, and they're in God's land, the promised land, and there's a famine. But just 25 miles over there, they got plenty to eat. Now, if you were having trouble, I've seen a lot of people make a decision to move and take another job because they get $1.75 an hour raise if they take it. Or they get or something, this job over here, is, you know, I'm getting just a little bit more. Or the position. Listen, we got to be careful when we make decisions that way. Listen, God may have us in a place that he wants us to where we can really flourish if we'll just stay. But sometimes things get a little tight. And this is what's happening. They live in the land of bread, you know, in the land of plenty, where there's a famine, but God's using this famine to try to get his people to listen to him, to be obedient. But 25 miles away, In the land of Moab, there's plenty of food, so they forsake God's plan, and they take off. They turn away from, watch, they turn away from God to live among the enemy. Moab is the enemy. It's the land of the enemy. And so Elimelech, instead of honoring God, he literally honors the enemies of God by going to Moab. And you remember who the Moabites are. The Moabites are descendants of Lot. And they are descendants of Lot as a result of an incestuous relationship with his daughter. And so they leave and they go off down to the land of Moab. Psalm chapter 60 and verse 8, it tells us that Moab, the Bible says, is my wash pot. And by that it means it's a pot where they wash their feet. Now I'm telling you, I've seen folks' feet, some of them. And when I look, I think, man, God has a sense of humor. Amen. And you got to remember that the Israelites walked everywhere they went. They had sandals on, and if your feet get wet and you get are sweaty and you walk across a bunch of a dusty kind of nasty, listen, your feet are going to be some kind of nasty. Amen. That's literally what God is saying Moab is. It's a wash pot where we wash our feet. And yet here Elimelech, whose name means God is my king, he rejects what God wants him to do and where God wants him to stay, to go off and live in a wash pot. So he's making some bad choices. Notice the choices that corrupt our faith. Whenever the pressure's on, we're going to be faced with decisions. Right? I mean, in fact, we don't really ever know what people are really like until we watch them go through a crisis. Somebody said this, crisis don't make us what we are. Watch, they don't make us what we are. They only reveal what we are. Yeah. So when the famine came, Elimelech had a choice to make, all right? And he chose to go his own way instead of God's way. They thought they were doing the right thing, but they were running from God and they were going in a different direction other than what God wanted them to do. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, anytime I have somebody come and tell me, and I can see it on them, Brother Marco knows this, when I've had people come over the last 30 years and I know they're leaving the church, and one of the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, one is they say, well, preacher, I feel led. Listen, I already know just by what's going on that they're making a mistake. You know what Elimelech did? He felt led. Yeah. And he's leaving where God has told them he wants him to be. Listen, they had already received their inheritance. They're in Canaan. God had promised to take care of his people no matter what they had to face. But they're in the situation they're in because of their disobedience. And all of a sudden now Elimelech says, hey, basically he's saying, I know we're disobedient to God. I know our people aren't doing what God tells them to do. I know that there's not a judge here and we're doing what's right in our own eyes. But I feel led to go live down in Moab. You know, listen, what a bad choice. So they take Naomi because they're gripped by fear and a spirit of unbelief and distrust, and they take off. And folks, listen, and the reason why they leave and they're living and they're taking off is because they don't have a close enough relationship to God to lay hold of his promises. They're not living in a close enough relationship with God to believe his word, so they take off. So instead of saying something like, well, I would rather die of hunger in Bethlehem than take my family to that sorry place of Moab. Listen, that's what should have happened. But God wasn't going to let that happen. God already promised to take care of them. But Elimelech has made some bad decision, and it begins to corrupt their faith. And now notice we see the consequences of those decisions and the consequences that correct our faith. Now watch, when we disobey God, we put others in jeopardy. Okay? If I had a nickel for every time somebody said, it's nobody's business but mine. It's not hurting anybody. Y'all ever heard that? Man, it's not hurt. It's my life. I can do what I want. Besides, it's not hurting anybody anyway. Be careful. Listen, that is a lie. Disobedience affects parents. It affects children. It affects friends and even family. I can remember one time, I don't know all the situation, but we had a man in our church, and a lot of us guys, we were going to go skiing one day, and this guy invited a whole bunch of the guys in our youth department. Man, we were going to go skiing. I mean, we're going to go to the lake. We're going to have a good time. I'd never been skiing before. There's about six or eight of us going. And I go ask my dad, I said, Dad, man, everybody is going to go to the lake and go skiing. Can I go with them? And he said, no. Why not? Everybody else is going. And he said, listen. He said, I'm only going to say this once. He said, and he called him by name. He said, so-and-so is out of the will of God. And if God decides to judge him while you're there, you're going to get judged right along with him. And so I didn't get to go. Now, I didn't get it then, but I understand it today. You know why? When we disobey God, we put others in jeopardy. We don't have the right to be happy at the expense of other people when we disobey God. And by the way, that person that's out of the will of God, he may be happy for a little while, but everybody else is miserable. So here's Elimelech. He made the decision to take his family to Moab. And watch, and when they got there, his two sons, I just called them sickly and pining one, they married two Moabite women. Now remember who the Moabites are. They're a descendant of Lot out of an incestuous relationship with his daughter. And listen, these girls or women, whatever you want to call them, they wouldn't have been on anybody's list of preferred wives for their sons. If you go and study about them, they were wicked women. In fact, they were so bad that God said that they could never be admitted into the congregation of Israel. Now listen, now for God to say that, those people are pretty bad. So, but they go down there, and these two sons, they marry two Moabite women. So when we disobey God, we put others in jeopardy. When we disobey God, we take responsibility for our own destiny. Look in verse 1. Notice what it says again. It says, now it came to pass, and I'll skip over, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to do what? So where? In the country of Moab. Now, what that word sojourn means to stay briefly. In other words, they're saying, Elimelech's saying, listen, there's a famine up here now at home. But right down there in Moab, about 25 miles, it wouldn't take us long to get there. We're just going to go down there. We're just going to stay for a little while. We're just going to stay long enough to get our feet back under us, long enough to kind of to get some food in storage, and long enough to kind of get ourselves together. But as soon as we do that, we're going back. We're not staying long. I mean, we've said that. We said, listen, we're going to go down here, but we're not staying very long. But watch this. But look in verse 4. Look what it says. The boys, they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And read the last line. And they did what? About how long? Man, that sojourning, that short time turned into 10 years. What started out as maybe a few months, a short time away from the provision of God, watch, it turned into 10 years of disobedience. 10 years. Listen, I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "Well, preacher, I'm just going for a little while and I'll be back." Be careful. That little while may be you turning into something that you didn't realize, and it may be something that you're not willing to pay for. Remember, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Boy, that's where they're at. When we disobey God, what we seek becomes our penalty. Someone said this, the efforts which we make to escape from our destiny only serve to lead us into it. You know, by going to Moab, Elimelech and his family, remember, they're trying to escape death from the famine. But watch this, what they sought to get away from by leaving God's blessing, that's exactly what came on them. Elimelech died, and you read here, guess what happened? Then them two boys died. Listen, the only one left was Naomi. Now, one thing I'm glad. Now, these guys didn't have what you and I have. We have the entire Word of God. We have it all in its entirety right here. There's nothing outside of this book. There's no more revelation coming. There's no more, God's put it all right here for us. And in Romans, it tells us that it says that God said that in all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. I was telling my daughter this the other day. There were some things going on in her life, and I said, listen, what other people may try to think bad for you, listen, God, if you'll do the right thing, God will take that which they meant for bad, and God will work it out for your good if you just do the right thing and be obedient. Well, watch this. Well, now here's Elimelech. They're out of the will of God. They didn't know this, and I know these boys, they married a woman by the name of Ruth, and they're in trouble. I mean, Naomi's in trouble. If they'd have stayed in Bethlehem, all three men, if they had died, at least Naomi would have had her friends. At least she wouldn't have been in a foreign land, but her husband, Elimelech, dragged her down into a foreign land, the land of Moab, and she was left widowed out in the middle of the enemy of God. And it was all because they started with one bad decision. Her hope, watch this, her hope of any kind of future as a family was gone. But now the only reason we can say, well, that's not it. Yeah, but they didn't know that. We have the whole story. But they're living it. And God is having His man. Listen, He's writing it down. But for them, listen, it is a tragic thing simply because they started out moving away from God's will for their life. Look in verse 21. Her fellowship's gone. I mean, everything she had was gone. There was nothing left of her material wealth. And in verse 21, look what she said. I went out full. And that doesn't say I came home empty. It says I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. You know, it's one thing to be obedient and God take care of us. But listen, but sometimes God gets our attention and He'll bring us back. But I'm telling you, it's a hard thing to go through. She lost everything she had. And the Bible tells us, listen, one thing I like about the Bible, it tells us about life right down to the nasty now and now. And if we would just get a hold of it and say, no, wait a minute, here's a family that made some bad decisions. And they started out making one bad decision, and then, listen, they made another bad decision. Them two boys made a bad decision. Listen, I mean, it's one bad decision after the other. But it all started out because of the leadership of the home made a bad decision. Listen, God help us today. Whatever leadership role that we're in, if we're making a decision, make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Make sure that that's what God wants us to do. And if it's what God wants us to do, listen, then let's do it. It may not be the popular thing. It may not even be the easy thing. But listen, it'll always be the right thing to do if it's God's will. So the Bible, it tells us everything about life. And yet there's a lot of Christians today, I think they're in a place, they think, preacher, I've had somebody tell me this just a few weeks ago, I just need to do things my way. And man, I'll try to be nice, but I just flat out tell them anymore. There's one thing about getting a little older. You just don't beat around the bush as much as you used to. I've been there and done that. And I've tried to be nice, and I've tried to be diplomatic, but there's sometimes it calls for somebody just to give them a straight answer. And I said, well, listen, there's a lot of people in the Bible that did things their own way. And when they got their way, they wished they didn't get their way. Well, that's what's happening here. And that's the reality of it is, if we do our own thing and we get out of God's will for our life, then we're going to open the door for a lot of personal misery in our life if we do that. Well, the good thing about this story is, this is the worst part of the story. From this point, it all gets better. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you, you remember the prodigal son? Remember he went away from home and he told his father, he said, listen, give me all my inheritance. And the Bible says he went away into a far country. And he wasted all of his living in riotous living. That word prodigal means recklessly wasteful. The prodigal was recklessly wasteful. But listen, there came a point in his life, just like the story we're going to read. He said three little words. He said, I'm going home. And you know, I can think back in my own life when I said, you know, if I can just get back home, I think I'll be okay. Well, Naomi's just like that. She hoped both her daughters-in-law would go back with her, but only one did. So Naomi and Ruth, they make their way back to the house of bread, the place of God's blessing. And folks, listen, when we read that, and we're going to get to all that later, but I'm thankful that God majors on our coming home. You know, we sing that song, I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. Listen, thank God that when we get ready, remember the prodigal son's dad? The Bible says that he seen him afar off. And he ran out and he fell on his neck and kissed him and put the ring of sonship on him. You know why he put the ring of sonship on his finger? Because he'd probably hawked all of the other stuff. Didn't have anything left. And the father sees him coming. He didn't go out there. Listen, can you imagine? You remember where he had been working? In a hog pen. That was the lowest of low for a Jewish boy. But he had been working in a hog pen. And he said, listen, I'm going home, for my father's servants fare far better than I do. So he said, I'm going home. And his father seen him coming away off. And the Bible says when the father seen him, he ran out there and fell on his neck and kissed him. Can you think about it? He kissed him. He hadn't even had time to clean up yet. You know, sometimes we think of that and we're saying, man, you know, I'm going to shake your hand, I'm going to pat you on the back, but man, you stink. You get cleaned up first. Not that, Daddy. Listen, that father was glad to see his son. And I'm thankful that God's us the same way. He comes just as I am without one plea. That thy blood was shed for me. Listen, I'm thankful that God accepts us just as we are. I've had people say, well, preacher, as soon as I get all my life together, I'm going to get in church. Never happened. You come as you are, and God will take care of you from there. Listen, God help us to understand this. This Naomi, Elimelech, and all the family, they were making some bad choices. And when we disobey God, what we seek becomes our penalty. God help us not to do that. But God help us to understand that God relishes when we come home. Listen, you don't have to be far, but it's far enough. And so God help us as his children. Listen, if you're a step away, let me encourage you, you come back and say, Lord, man, there's this part of my life, I need to get it fixed. I need to do a little better. So you come, you present yourself to God, and he'll start from that point forward. And he'll give you the strength to do that. Father, help us.